Hello, this is the weekly talk from St John's Church in Birkdale, and today is the talk for the 19th of June, and we're looking at the final chapter of the book of Habakkuk. Well, here at St John's we had a royal summer fair yesterday, and I think now that's over, we can very much say that everything to do with the Queen's Platinum Jubilee has come to an end, and all the bunting and everything packed away until, well, who knows when. However long the Queen may reign, she will always be remembered, won't she, in the names of ships, bridges, schools and the like all over the world, as well, of course, as for creating coronation chicken. But after the celebrations now are over, it seems to me that everyone is most going to remember the Queen by the words that we heard and read repeatedly about her: steadfastness, consistency, her love for her nation, and happily her faith. A faith that has sustained her through war and through peace, and we thank God for that. If she had lived and reigned a few centuries ago, she would have been revered as God's chosen leader. She would have believed in the divine nature of monarchy and lived her life accordingly. To doubt her would have been to doubt God. And many centuries before that, the Old Testament prophet Habakkuk, well, he would have recognised such a divine leader, although it probably would, of course, have been a king. He would have recognised someone chosen by God to lead their people and fight goodness in the world, fight for goodness in the world and drive out their enemies. For all the goodness that there was that God had freely given, there was still a need to fight and defeat all the evil that existed alongside it. Was this too much to ask, Habakkuk thought? Too much to expect from a faithful God? Why were the good being left to suffer whilst the corrupt and immoral prospered? Well, at the very beginning of May, we started to look at the book of Habakkuk in the Old Testament, and we started to consider what seemed to be going wrong and what God was or wasn't doing about it, and offering it all up as a useful lesson for what was happening around us today. And this morning, we're looking at the final chapter now in this book of Habakkuk, and we can, through this, like him, find confidence in the chaos that often surrounds us. And indeed, today's verses offer us the chance to join him in prayer to the one and only monarch, the one and only king, God Almighty. And if you'd like to follow the reading, it is chapter 3 of the book of Habakkuk, as I say, in the Old Testament. Well, I think if you've read this passage now, you'll see what wonderful image and language there is in there. And we'll look a bit more closely at that shortly. But first, I would like to put it into some sort of context and just recap. Because whilst I'm sure you're all very, very good at remembering what we said at previous weeks, I think if you bear with me, I'll just go over a few of the key points that we've already touched upon in looking at the book of Habakkuk. Well, when I began the first of this series, I talked about the paradox of faith, which for me was however close we feel to God and the more we know his holy nature and will, just the more questions we have and the farther away we can sometimes feel. Habakkuk was a prophet, he was a messenger of God's word, and he was a learned man. He knew the Hebrew scriptures, but he just couldn't understand why all around him the only people who were really prospering were the people who were most removed from God. What was God doing to stop and punish the violent, the corrupt and the sinners? Maybe we've all felt a bit like that, and we sort of want to say, well, if we can recognise evil, surely God can, and what is he doing about it? Have we called out, like Habakkuk, "Dear Lord, how long, how often do I have to ask you to do something?" Well, in this book, we're clear that God's reply was that he was in control, and not to have any doubt about that, because you will be amazed at what he was going to do in the future. Have we listened when God has replied to us? Have we understood that a response from God may not come in a time to suit us? When I spoke last, I spoke of being patient in faith and that we must learn to be patient as we learn to wait on the Lord. And Tim reminded us of this in his talk when he told us of the importance of knowing that we had to stop, look and listen. One of the modern uses of words which drives me to distraction, and there are quite a few, is that people are always saying they literally can't wait. They'll tell you that they're going on holiday and I literally can't wait. Well, I know language changes over the years, but is this symptomatic of modern attitudes? That people can't wait for anything? Everything has to be instant? You can protest all you will to God, but what you get will be through his good grace and in his good time. I also remember from that talk that Tim spoke about the need to surrender to God in the stillness that you feel when you are really listening and when you're pushing the noise and the chaos away. And my favourite hymn asks that the Lord and Father of mankind will drop still dews of quietness till all our striving cease. Habakkuk went up a watchtower to get away and listen to and observe the Lord. Is it just God's voice that we are listening to? Because it needs to be. There are plenty of other voices competing for our attention, but we mustn't take notice of any but the one true voice. And then the week after, Roy went on to tell us, or to reassure us, that the just will live by faith and that chaos can be managed. We can be sustained when we have a faith based on the solid rock of Christ. Then we will accept with confidence that God will get us through. And faith is one of the trinity of positivity that Christine brought us just before Pentecost. She spoke to us about faith, focus and fear. The focus there on the final outcome, for there will be a final judgment. And fear, well, maybe we should say fear not, for God is on his throne. He sent his son to save us. And we can be saved if we accept that we have fallen short, that we are sinners. She told us about the fog of this world, and when our destination can't be seen clearly, then Christ is our light, just as God shone a light for Habakkuk and his people. And now today's talk is titled Choose Joy. After all the trial and tribulation, the destruction and the anguish at the beginning of Habakkuk's book, we have stood alongside him as he has discovered more about himself and about God. And here at the end of his book, in the passage that you'll have looked at for this morning, he recognises and thanks God for the awesome strength and power he has displayed. Awesome. Not my word. Habakkuk tells God in the first verse of this chapter that he is filled with awe by the amazing things God has done. And we're told about God's brilliant splendour, with light flashing from his hands, and that before him the earth shakes and the nations tremble. Awesome spectacle and awesome power indeed. This is the God that we recognise and the God to whom Habakkuk bends in humility to pray. And this reading should be considered a prayer, or even in fact a psalm, because there in the Bible there is an instruction for it to be accompanied by string instruments. But however you see it, this is a prayer of revival and vision, a prayer of hope and of joy. And it begins with the acknowledgement that we are in deep need and we do need God's help. We need it again, just as we have before and just as we will need it in the future. We will always need God's help, and through our faith, we know that in his time and his way, we will receive it. Verse 2 asks that God will begin again to help us. And in response to Habakkuk, God came. He came in a vision and reminded Habakkuk, who you may recall was doubting God at the start of the book. God reminded him now of the many powerful things he'd done to save his people, of how he'd used his awesome power against his enemies. And Habakkuk saw this. He saw how they'd been crushed. He saw how even the sun and the moon faded before God's brilliance. No wonder he says in verse 16 that he trembled inside and that his legs gave way. You might describe this as being the fear of God, but that awareness doesn't mean being frightened of God. By accepting his power, we're able to rest in his peace and need not be afraid of anything else. God had helped his people before, when people believed and they'd kept to his covenant to live a godly life. God had delivered and would do so again. We can have hope in the future through the acts he has performed in the past. And we must continue to pray even in the darkest of days. This darkness comes upon us in so many different ways, doesn't it? For Habakkuk, well, it was more to do with a murderous invading army, the Babylonians, as well as weak immorality at the top of his people. The future looked desperate. And our darkness may look different, you think, or you may think it looks the same. The pandemic, Ukraine, the serious cost of living, the state of the planet, poverty, mental illness, addiction, it's a long list. But as all of these problems and crises come and go, as some are resolved, we suspect that others will appear again. But even as things do change, remember that God doesn't. He is our one true constant. How could we imagine a life without that? When so many things are wrong, is this the time perhaps for a revival in the church? The commentator who is linked to this particular series that we've been doing calls out for an awakening in our churches and in our communities. And we have to think at the moment that we have this wonderful opportunity to be part of that here in Birkdale. And there is such a need for the people of God to be active in our own community. Habakkuk saw the overwhelming power of God, and he knew about God's judgment and described it in our reading. He tells us that there was no blossom, no crops, no stock, a barren land. The people of Israel had turned away from God's truth, and this was the result. But he, God, would never turn away from them. In acknowledging their sins, they would be helped and restored. We must also recognise that a judgment will eventually come, but we are called to see God's goodness in this, because we know his promises to his faithful. Here in verse 18, Habakkuk begins his prayer to a powerful, life-changing conclusion. He says, "Yet I will rejoice in the Lord, I will be joyful in the God of my salvation." He sees the power of joy even in the worst of circumstances, a joy rooted not in those circumstances, but in our faith and our faithful God. And this is a special type of joy, rooted deep down, permeating everything that we do and everything that we think. And we're told again in the New Testament, in Philippians, "Always be full of joy in the Lord. I say it again, rejoice." And in the book of James, "Whenever trouble comes your way, let it be an opportunity for joy." What an encouragement these words are, but at the same time, of course, what a great challenge. But there's no doubt that in his book, Habakkuk has gone from despair and anger to joy and to peace and hope. He believes in the work of God visible in every life. He's truly gone from chaos to confidence. I'm going to end by returning to the Queen's Platinum Jubilee and the Thanksgiving service at St Paul's Cathedral. In that service, the Old Testament reading was taken from 1 Chronicles, a book that recorded the problems of the past and looked forward to a future that avoided the same mistakes. One simple verse from 1 Chronicles says, "Give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. His faithful love endures forever." And if I can conclude with a prayer, let's just ask Heavenly Father, we thank you for your faithfulness, for the many ways you work in our often chaotic lives. We ask your blessings on us as we move on in confidence of your presence, your strength, and your love, and in the salvation offered through your Son, our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.